This is All Things Considered on 90.1 WABE. I'm Dennis O'Hare. This week, Georgia Governor Nathan Deal easily won the Republican nomination for a second term. He now turns his attention to the November general election, where he will face Democratic Atlanta State Senator Jason Carter. Governor Deal joins us in his campaign office in Atlanta. Governor, welcome. Congratulations.
Well, thank you, Dennis. I'm greatly humbled by the margin of victory, and I certainly thank all of those voters who saw fit to support me on Election Day.
Your primary campaign centered around themes of education and the economy and accomplishments there. Those are exactly the areas where Senator Carter has promised to go after you. Let's start with education. You put $500 million in new spending in the fiscal 15 budget for K through 12 education, but that still left about $750 million in austerity cuts that are ongoing. How would you respond to the accusation, which I'm sure will come, that there still is a crisis in educational funding and it hasn't been addressed?
I think what we have to do is live within the realities of the time, and that's what we have done. We have budgeted conservatively, but we have increased K through 12 funding every year that I have been governor. This year, we had the luxury of having an additional amount of revenue, and we devoted a good portion of it, over that $500 million, to K through 12 funding. The reality is that if you're going to do anything to improve the quality of education, and those things are going to cost money, you need to have an economy that will support that. As we continue to grow our economy, we'll have money available to improve education.
If you're saying, look, we can't spend a lot more on education than we already are because of the economy, doesn't that lend some evidence to your opponent's argument that the economy hasn't moved fast enough under your administration?
Maybe he should talk to President Obama of his party about that. Many people in the business community would say that this administration has put a blanket on economic growth in our country. Fortunately for the state of Georgia, though, in spite of that, we've seen our economy grow. Over 250,000 new jobs in the private sector since I became governor, 3.5 years ago. Our revenue continuing to grow, and we're going to see approximately a 5% increase in revenue for our fiscal year that's coming to an end very soon. Those are the kind of things that you have is sustained economic growth. Now, education has always been a priority. It is the highest component of state spending, and it is being rivaled, quite frankly, though, by the ever-increasing cost of the federal health care mandates, which are continuing to eat into our state's budget. And when that happens, it makes less money available for us to do things like spend on education.
One of his proposals is, if education is the biggest portion of the state budget, which it is, why not have a separate budgeting process for education and do that first and then have everything else fit in? What's wrong with that?
Well, that's the old Democrat model. Let's create silos and put things in silos. I'm someone who's willing to make hard choices. I've demonstrated that. I don't think we need to put money into silos just to do what needs to be right. If you have the right ideas and the right programs, then you can convince the members of the General Assembly to put money into it. They don't have to be convinced of that. They don't have to have their hands tied and say, we're going to put this amount of money off limits and give you no discretion about it.
But is this really putting it in a separate budget? It's the same budget. It's just a different kind of approval process and saying, okay, we're going to do this process in a different way.
It sounds to me like a gimmick. I think this is just something that sounds like a good idea, hasn't been tested, doesn't know what the outcome of it's going to be, doesn't know what the impact on the overall budget is going to be. I don't go for gimmicks. I go for things that make a difference, and I think we've shown that.
But doesn't the state have to raise revenue somehow for some of the pressing issues that would face the state in trying to stay competitive with others? For instance, our infrastructure, our transit system, these are huge capital outlays, and right now we don't have the money for them, it seems. So where does that come from?
Well, that is always true. There are certain basic requirements that government has to meet, and that requires revenue in order to do that. We have seen a crisis situation developing right now with regard to the uncertainty of a federal surface transportation bill. And we're told that the money that we pay into gasoline taxes to the federal government, that the trust fund is going to run out of money. We've just made adjustments for that at the state level in order to prioritize some of the projects that are very important to us, one of those being the 400 I-285 interchange. And by virtue of prioritizing that project, rearranging our funding mechanism, we're actually able to accelerate the time frame of that very important transportation project.
One of the arguments from Senator Carter already has been ethics and the recent decision by a jury saying that Stacey Kalberman, the former State Ethics Committee chief, was wrongly let go, I guess, if you will. And the implication, at least from some of the jurors, was, well, if your office was not involved directly in what happened with Stacey Kalberman and the investigation into your campaign, that there was that contact to find a replacement for her as head of the Ethics Commission. What would you say to people who think, okay, even if there was no direct involvement, the changing of the commission executive director, if you will, affected the investigation?
Well, first of all, under our law, the Ethics Commission is an independent agency. It is made up of independent individuals who have the right to hire and fire the staff that works for them. All of those decisions were made by that Ethics Commission. The lawsuit was against the Ethics Commission. If my office or me individually had involvement in that, I think there would have been an inclusion of us in the lawsuit, which it was not. We had no involvement in that. That was a decision that the Ethics Commission itself made.
But didn't your executive counsel, Ryan Teague, contact Holly LaBerge, who was eventually hired to head up the Ethics Commission staff?
My executive counsel got a phone call from a member of the Ethics Commission asking if he knew of anyone who might be interested in talking to them about a position with the commission. We get
so
those.
So you're saying you did not initiate that?
No, not at all. I didn't know about it until well after the fact. We get those kind of calls from department heads and agencies all the time. Do you know of somebody in state government who might want to make a change or might be looking to go to another agency? Now, if that's the involvement, that is a very thin line to be able to place any responsibility on. He did understand that Holly LaBerge might be interested in moving from where she was with the public defender's office. He relayed that information to the Ethics Commission. They made the judgment call about whether there were other people, I understand, interviewed besides her. They're the ones who made that call. Now, if that's all that they can hang their hat on, that is a very thin line. Now, in terms of reforms of the Ethics Commission, yes. I've already made a proposal whereby we could eliminate the conflicts that might appear to exist so that if a complaint is filed against a member of the executive branch of government, any member of the Ethics Commission that had been appointed by the executive branch would be disqualified. The same would be true of the legislative branch. Same would be true of the judicial branch.
But real quickly, what would you say to someone who said this proposal of yours is fine, but it could have happened before the verdict from the jury and that this was just a response to that?
And I think you and others in the media would have said, there the governor goes, tampering with the Ethics Commission. It was not an appropriate time for me to be able to make those kind of suggestions, but it is an issue that deserves serious, serious concern in terms of reorganization and structure.
Given the closeness of the polls right now, are you nervous that this would be a tougher race than perhaps you might expect in a state that still is in the GOP column?
Well, I never take any election for granted. I work hard from the beginning to the end. I intend to do that this time. You know, I got almost as many votes as Jason Carter and Michelle Nunn combined. I think that's an indication of where the people of this state stand.
Georgia Governor Nathan Deal. Governor Deal, congratulations, good luck, and thank you very much for your time. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Dennis.